Okay, let's meditate. Then please come to your breath. Hold your mind against your breath, like you're holding something up against the wall. Then please come to your Muladhara Chakra, between your legs, maybe an inch into the under the skin. Just pass your mind over that area and see if you can feel some bump, ball. When you feel it, stay there. And I'd like to try breathing through that place. So you breathe out, you breathe in through that place. Then you need a direction. You need to know which direction to breathe in. I'd like you to exhale. When you exhale, breathe up your spine. Send the breath up your spine. Send the exhales up your spine. To the tip of your head. You're still breathing out of your Muladhara Chakra, chakra between your legs. And you're breathing up your spine. Now I'd like you to extend your exhale, make your exhale a little bit longer. You can time it with your heartbeat. maybe 3 heartbeats long. When you inhale, the breath comes back down the spine into the muladhara. So the muladhara is like, its name suggests, it's like an attached point in your body. It's like the base. And then you breathe out up the spine, and you breathe back to the muladhara, like one of those ping pong paddles that have a ball on a rubber band. The chakra is like the paddle, and the ball always comes back. Long, calm, luxurious, happy exhales. Relax. Longer exhale, maybe 4 heartbeats, maybe 5, but no strain, just relax. Now picture the flow up your spine and the flow back down your spine as being like the color of glass. Now let the exhale come up to the tip of the head and then curves down to the chakra in your forehead. And then it goes back down to the between the legs on the inhale. So full breath out. The stream of glass touches your middle of your forehead. Inside. And then it goes back between your legs. Stay here for a while. Now imagine the exhale comes to your forehead from between your legs. And just a little bit of glass comes out of your forehead. A little bit of prana leaves your forehead, maybe less than a half an inch. And then it comes back to the between your legs. Then relax here, just breathe here. We'll stay here for a while. You can come back to your breath. Then relax, open your eyes, stretch. We'll do questions later, okay? And I'll take, you can write them, okay? Maybe we'll talk, I don't know, we'll see. But first we have to find out if the prince found anybody in the caves with the 130 armored horsemen. Lama Tsul, where's Jeff Eddie? Yeah, so Lama Tsul, he went to look for a Lama. So Tsul and Tsul are the same. Tsul the Chimbe, Ridachigna Tamse, Zeptari, Shupatanja. Then he checked in all the caves. There's some nice caves near here called Sycamore Canyon, if you ever have time. There's water, there's a river. Nobody ever goes there. There's huge caves there. You can stay for a while. But, so Jetari, he found a lama named Jetari. De Kyabsem Nang Ne. Jetari taught him Kyabsem. He taught him how to take refuge. How do you take refuge? Bodhanam sharanam gacchami. Next time your girlfriend yells at you, you're like, take refuge. It's not some like thing where you sit in front of a Buddha statue. See, in every religion, when people start, they don't understand and they start making up rules and they start making up statues and they say you have to bow to the statues and it's like, not like that. Taking refuge is when your girlfriend yells at you and then you take refuge and you don't say anything back because you don't like her yelling at you, okay? Everybody knows she's wrong. You don't have to tell her, all right? We all understand. Just shut her down, you know? Shut down the complaining and... Don't respond. Then you have taken refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, all three. Okay? By just doing that. And then people didn't get it, and then they started making statues and said, you have to bow to the statue, and you have to say this thing over and over again. And that doesn't protect you. If you be quiet because you understand where your girlfriend's criticism is coming from, then that's protection. Then you went for refuge. So I assume Jatari taught him that kind of refuge. Then Sem, Kyab Sem, he learned Semke, he learned Bodhicitta. Jatari started to tell him about DCI and all the tourists he could go on and help the world. Dei Gyansan Nang Nang. Then Jatari does an interesting thing. Nalendar Togmene Dawe Lama. He says to him, at Nalanda Monastery, there's a Lama with whom you have had a karmic connection for time with no beginning. Okay? Togme Dang. Togmene Dawe Lama. Okay? So you've had a karmic connection with him. His name is Changju Sambo. Sorry, probably Bodhibhadra. It is Bodhibhadra. You're there, Song. You should go there. Okay? So Jatari says, you should go meet this other Lama, because I perceive that you've had a karmic connection with him for forever. Soon, Dene Lama Chanju Sambo Danjel. Then he went to meet that other Lama, Bodhibhadra. Rinpoche Chöpye Nyepadze. He pleased him with an offering of jewels. Lame Nyamshak Dzene. The Lama went into meditation. Gosum Jingilap. And then in meditation, he blessed Lord Atisha to think in beautiful ways and to speak in beautiful ways and to act in beautiful ways. He blessed his three doors. Semke ki dampa mang dunang. He granted him many instructions on love for the world, saving the world. De lama Rigpe Kuchuk Chung Du Tang. Then he sent him to Rigpe Kuchuk. Rigpe Kuchuk in Sanskrit is Vidya Kokala, and he's one of the big lamas of Chandrakirti's lineage, down from Chandrakirti down to us. There's two Vidya Kokalas, the elder and the younger. But he sent him to Vidya Kokala. I think already he has a beautiful karma because he doesn't have this karma to meet a lama who's possessive of him. You see, some teachers, me included, everybody, you think of students like baseball cards. I think I met David Swenson one time. He gave me some classes. And then I said, well, where's your center? He says, I don't have a center. You know, I just travel. And then I said, well, how do you teach your close students? He says, I don't have any close students. You know? And I'm like, why? And he said, who wants them? You know, it's the hassle. And people just, it becomes a point of contention between yoga teachers. You know, I have Sting, you have Pavarotti. He's got, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, and then you start treating your students like commodities. You know, and I think it's refreshing and it's kind of beautiful that in the Lord Atisha has the karma that he's meeting these lamas who send him. He said, okay, I'll teach you what I know, or I specialize in this thing, and then you should go to this other guy because he specializes in something else. So he gets sent on to other lamas from the beginning. You know, it's kind of beautiful. De lama rigpe kuchu di tundutam. De kyang semke ki tam dang nang ne. Then he granted him more teachings on love, universal love. And then he sent him on to, Ngungi Lama means his Lama from his previous lives, which was Avaduti. Okay? So this is going to be important. So he ends up at Avaduti. Okay? Came into English as off. Duty means to throw off. And avaduti means it's another name for the central channel. Because we seek to throw off the bondage of the two side channels. You know, that's what we talked about in Niguma's class today. We're seeking to get the side channels off. They're like grapevines. Or if you know morning glories, They just choke out all the other plants. They go around all the other plants and they choke them, you know, like this. And so Ava Dutti means try to tear the side channels off of their stranglehold on the central channel, Ava Dutti, okay? So this lama's name was Ava Dutti, okay? Jaltatang, he sent him to Ava Dutti. Dedang Javana, he met Ava Dutti. Lame Diring Gyavakap the song. Kim Ki Nyeme Tu La Shok song. The Lama said, you should go back to your parents, to the kingdom, to the palace. And Kim Ki Nyeme Tu La Shok, you should go observe the problems of staying in that kind of life. Okay? Data Pepana Yabyum Gene. So he ended up back home and Yabyum Ge. What's Yabyum? Yabyum is the honorific for it's in Tantra it's the man and the woman, the practitioners. But in scriptural Tibetan it's the royal father and the royal mother. So you can see how it came into Tantra. Okay. Yabyum Gene, they were happy to see him come back. Dawai Ningbo, they addressed him as Chandragarbha. That was his original name when he was a kid. Okay, he was called Chandragarbha. Kyuni Kanta Chin, Dupa Magyotam, Shepa Magyotam, Lepa Lek, She Shupadam. So they said to him, Kanta Chin, where have you been? Dupa Magyotam, did you get tuckered out wherever you went? Shepa Magyotam, did you get tired of whatever you were doing there? Lepa Lek, we're glad to see you back. You know, they said to him, She Shupadam. In response, he said, Tuke Gyabne Lama Tsudu Chin. I went to seek a lama, those beings in whom even the Buddhas take refuge. I like it. I really like that. You know? So for us, our personal lama is more important than all the enlightened beings of the universe because we can't talk to them. Okay, so that's a beautiful way to start a conversation. You know, I went to look for a lama of the likes that the Buddhas would bow down to. Okay. I went to seek solitude among the mountains and the caves. But no matter where I went, I saw suffering. I saw the suffering of this world. And no matter who I met and who I befriended, they started to talk to me about their problems. Whatever I tried to do, it didn't make me happy. Gokap Che She Dagni Chilado. Please, Gokap Che is a beautiful word. Say Gokap Che. Give me a chance, and I'll go onto a spiritual path. Gokap Che means to open an opportunity. Just give me the chance and let me go. Okay? Chiladon. She Sumbadam Yabyumki. And his father and mother said, Kurwe Kyona Gyalse Sungla Koinjola Chupa Upongla Jimba Tsulakang Shengla. If the state of the world dismays you, then come take your proper place as a prince. You can have the money to make lots of offerings. You can give money to poor people. You can build temples. Okay? Gendun Chendam Baso. You can invite monks to the palace. They can do prayers. Okay? Like that. Dembaso Chenna. Kundi Devagir. Everybody will be happy. You know? Everybody will get what they want. So Shepana. Neki Koa Dila Chertepe. Gyalse La Chape Namani Dutsam Midao. Then he responds and he says, look, I've seen life. I've seen what's going to happen to me if I stay, and I've seen what happens to people. I don't have a single atom of desire to stay here in this kind of life. Okay? Sanya Midao. There's no difference between your golden palace and a prison. There's no difference between these princesses you're offering me and a pile of demons. Kase ngasum dang kisha naktak lakime. There's no difference between your delectable food with the three kinds of sweet stuff and pus-covered dog meat. Those are, by the way, these are, what do they call? Honey, sugar, and what's the brown thing? Jaggery, yeah. But what do they call it in America? It's molasses, yeah. Molasses, sugar, and honey are the three sweets. Your food is covered with the three sweets, but to me it looks like dog meat covered with pus and blood, he said. Tara. Tarsab ge geng zepatang mitsan tu tu lawa kyun la kepa chung se me. I can't see any difference between wearing the royal silk and wearing burlap sacks sitting in a pile of poo. Okay? Therefore, da nasa samten gom to draw. So I'm going to go off into the forest and meditate. Okay. Which is appropriate as a certain stage in your life. Okay, there's a stage in your life when you should go off into the mountains or in the cave. Or there's a time in your life for that. It's like the Bible said, right? There is a season. To every time there's a season, turn. Yeah, that's a Bible thing. There's a proper time for that. And then there's a time to come back to the palace and change the palace. You see what I mean? So, again, if you have a lower intellect, a lower understanding, then you'll say all palaces are bad and all forests are good. And that's not right, okay? To be in a palace and have a tantric practice is the fastest way to become a Buddha. To be in the forest and think you gotta ignore everybody else is the long way. Okay? I mean, you gotta put it all in context, all right? You have to understand that. You can have a family life and reach enlightenment faster if you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you take robes and sit in the forest. Okay? Gyeomba la gyeobchung semida. Nima deringa la shada oma dangji buramchung sik to. Please mix me up some right now, this morning. He's acting like a prince already. Could you have some meat and milk and honey mixed up for me? And I'll go off to the forest. It's like, could you cook me a beef bourguignon and I'll head off on my spiritual quest. Sumba, Lord Langma. Then he sang a song. He sang a spiritual song about how he wanted to go spend his life with Master Avaduti. Okay. Yagyu ni kang du che du nang. This mother and father decided to let him do what he wanted, which is not the usual scenario, right? Probably they thought he'd get tired without the beef bourguignon. Then he tapa tong dan che naksu pep. Then he traveled off to the forest with but 1,000 horsemen. Avaduti shalmatung. He threw his head at the feet of Avaduti. De semge techen wanko yangte. He taught him about bodhicitta, and then he started to teach him tantra. Okay, one could say. Rinapatsula kandu pelden rahule tung the song. Then he told him there's a temple on a mountain called the Black Mountains, and there's a lama there named Sri Rahula, and you should go there. He was your lama in a past life. Deyang Lungi Lama Yin. He was also your Lama in a past life. Dene Lama Rahule Tundu Jembana. So he went to Rahula. Lame Gyu Sungin Yupe Tsvosik. The Lama was engaged in teaching Tantra to a group of disciples. Okay. And then he saw with his, what do you call it? He understood that Atisha was trying to get to him. Okay, this is very typical. And that he wanted to learn the Dharma. So Dikpa Chawachir, to test him. Dikpa means to threaten somebody. It's one of the words from Migewa, bad deed, right? To threaten him. Gyawe Dandu Tokti Papna. He what do you call it? He called up some lightning. He called up some lightning and sent one down on Atisha. Then Tokte Mute Nabuchute Rila Song. The lightning refused to touch Atisha. And the lightning went to somebody else. And messed up there was a bad place, and people were doing bad things. And the lightning said, I don't want to strike Atisha, I'll go over there. So the lightning came down like this, and then it went like this. It hit somebody else. Read last song. Korki Neljopan Namki Lamala Sunyi Shupe. Then all the yogis in the room, Korki Neljopan. They said, who is this guy? They're like, who is that guy who's coming here who can deflect your lightning, you know? And then he said, Dikewa ngabgya ngabjut sanyi sukepa panjan ki lushatak sulepa gyupa. Listen, this guy has been a monk and a pandita for 552 lives, okay? He's been a great sage. 552 lines. And now he has been born as the prince of the king of Bengal. He has no attachment to the palace or to the kingdom. He wants to do tapas. Okay, he wants to do difficult spiritual practice. He's decided he wants to try to do that. So they all were all amazed, and they all got up to honor Atisha as he entered the room. Jamatak lama damba sendusu. Kimne chungde tapa jubdu kyan jita tape rigi topa yi. Bangalaru kowo ching yin da, jetari dang chanju sambo dang, ripe kuchu abo duti pa, ngudu nepe lama tengyo kyang, tadung gyase ne la juma gyur. Then Lord Atisha addressed the lama, Rahula, with the following verse. Lama, please listen to what I have to say. Kim ne chun de tapa dukdu kyang. I would like to leave the family life. I would like to seek liberation. That in itself, be careful, okay? Be careful with that kind of language, okay? All right? You got to get it, okay? The greatest tantrikas of India were kings. The Kalachakra was granted to a king. The Kalachakra that His Holiness taught in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago was granted by the Buddha to a king who remained a king. So be careful with that kind of language where they say, I'm going to leave the family life and get enlightened, you know? Because if you have the wrong state of mind, it's not going to help. If you have the right state of mind, it doesn't matter where you go. If you study well, you can find amazing beings in your house, okay? And you might go to India and spend 10 years and miss the milkman. Okay, all right. It happens a lot. I've been born into a very illustrious family, Bangalaru Ko Ching Nian Da, but I feel like there's a danger that I could be shackled to Bengal. Okay. Jetari Dan Chanju Sambodang. I met Jetari, I met Bodhibhadra, Rigpe Kuchuk, I met Vijay Kokela, and I met Avaduti. Mudur Nyepe Lama Tengyu Kyang. And so I've been able to study with some lamas who have had high realizations. Dadun Gyalse Nela Duma Gyur. But I haven't really been able to free myself from the palace. You know, they still expect me there. And I still have I still have ties there that I can't break. Dumagyur. Dani Lama Keki Tunditang. Now they sent me to you. Dharma Techen Semge Wankur Ki. Grant me the teachings on love. Grant me the teachings on Tantra. And thereby, I will be freed from my chains. Okay? She Shupe, Ningsha Chusum Padu Geshindu. The Lama Rahula was pleased. So for 13 days straight, he taught him privately. And he gave him the instructions for He Vajra. So he taught him a high tantra instructions. Wangkur gave him initiation. Damlak Tsangwar Nung gave him all the secret instructions. Sangsen Yeshi Sangwe Dorje gave him the tantric name, which most people don't know, is Yeshi Sangwe Dorje. Okay, I haven't found it mentioned in Sanskrit, but you could reconstruct it to Jnana Guhya Vajra. Okay, probably it's Jnana Guhya Vajra. He gave him that name. Dene Lama Rahule. Jigpe Dupto, oh, this is cool. Jigpe Dupto Pomo Cherbu Gela Gyalpo Di Chi Dang Che. So he's going to figure out a way to sever the links between Atisha and his parents. Okay, here we go. Jigpe Dupto Pomo Cherbu. He chose 8 of his disciples, men and women, who were deep into the Yamantaka practice. Okay. And he told them to take their clothes off. Okay. And then he, Gyalpo Di Chi Dang Che, follow Atisha as he goes back home. Bangala Song. Yab Gyalpo Sampa Gyur. Maybe you can change the king's mind. Gyalpo Di Gyalsi Tula Lama Avaduti Tundi Larkyo. Get the son successfully divorced from his duties as prince and getting back to Avaduti. Okay? So that's their assignment. Okay? Gyalpo Kyang Deitse Heruka Chadze Ne Pep. And he dressed up the prince in Heruka tantric outfit. Okay? Then sent him back to the palace. Nyekor de Lepetse. When he got close to the palace, Kungi Tepe Ngoyang She, people looked and they figured out, they recognized him, even though he looked crazy. Jigpa Yangke, and they got scared. Dawa Sumdu Nyochu Kyang Te. Then for 3 months, they ripped up the palace. And they ran around and they danced around and they did crazy tantric things and made a mess and made a bother of themselves, okay? Nyocha means crazy behavior, okay? Nyocha Pomo Nam Chushing Gyu. They ran around the palace and did their rituals. Kungi Gyalsi Pomo Kotak Che Tamche Tenshing Rangsar Chima Jin. Everybody decided it would be better if he left, if he gave up the kingdom. All right? Pamje Tenma. But they were sorry to see him go, and everybody was crying. Chakpadu Yabki Shione. And his father said, you know what his father's going to say. Emma Bukyu Lepatse Petse. My son, when you were born, Yatsen Te Tong Yasi Kyong Nyamne. There were miraculous signs, and I thought you were going to be a great king. Gawe Semgi Yuan Supargyur. I was overwhelmed with happiness. Dani Naktu Tenlo Jitalat. So why do you want to run off now and be a, follow a spiritual path? Jitalan, Shesumbadan, Gyalpu De Lendu. Atisha replied, Chisun Daki Gyalse Sungyuna, Sender Yutsam Yabdan Drogma Kyung. If I do choose to stay, and if I take the reins of the country, right? Sender Yutsam Yabdan Drogma Kyung. You and I, Father, can stay together for a while. We will be together for a while. But, Kiwatendu Pabur Misheshin. But fathers and sons get shuffled by all this rebirth. We'll get shuffled around later. I don't know if in a future life I will hurt you or you will hurt me, maybe. We don't know what we will be to each other in the future. Let me give up the kingdom. Let me practice the path. And then you and I will be joined together forever, happily. If I can reach enlightenment, then it's for sure we'll be together. If you don't let me go, then we might end up, you know, life will shift us around. I might kill you, you might kill me. We might be reborn as enemies like that. In other words, it's not sure that by keeping someone in your house that you're going to live happily ever after. Let's become enlightened, and then you will live happily ever after. And you could be together happily ever after. Okay. He wants to be with his father happily ever after. So he wants to leave the palace. Okay. So I ask you to let me go. I don't want to lose you, says his father. Sorry, his mother. I don't want to lose my son. And I'm sad to see him go. But we all have to follow the path that our karma propels us upon, right? Pembatso. Kecho kandu dewa chila tong. Let the boy go. And let him practice his spiritual life, okay? Chine tendu dope mun lam sao. And then let us all pray that we are all together in the end. Okay? Let us all pray that we'll be together in the end. Mun lam sao. She sung ne nangwa chin. She gave her permission. Dene gyalpu nangbar torang nalja pomandam dal henti tu natu du. Then at dawn, at daybreak the next morning, the prince went back to the forest with his crazy yogi boy and girlfriends and companions. And he went back to Lama Avaduti. And he studied Ume Chö. Okay? He studied the Dharma of the middle. Okay? Uma can mean Majjhimika. Tsa Uma means the central channel. The channel we were breathing through earlier today is called Uma. Okay? Namlalab. He studied Uma. So he studied, it's not clear. He studied the central channel or he studied emptiness. Probably both. Len De Tarship Kyang Ten. He also studied karmic seeds in detail. Okay? So probably that was emptiness before. I don't know. Gunglo near Chigne, near Gu Par, Avaduti Chapakyang. From the age of 21 up to the age of 29, he did the practice of Avaduti. Okay? So that would be how many years? 8 years. Then there's a disagreement in the scriptures about how many years he stayed with Avaduti. Some people say more. So Tijang Rinpoche, he made little marks. What do you call it? SIC, right? Sick? It means maybe there's a boo-boo here, maybe there's not. He made a mark there. Maybe it was more, maybe it was less. Okay. Duti Chepakyan. So of course I went off on what? 10 pages of what the heck was Avaduti's secret practice. It was central channel practice. It's exactly what you did today. Okay? It was a central channel practice. Is it a coincidence that one of his lamas is named Avadhuti, which means central channel, and the other one is Rahula, which means central channel? Because the two side channels are called the sun and the moon. In the Yoga Sutra, they're called Surya and Chandra, right? Rahula is the dark planet. When there's an eclipse in India, they believe that the dark planet has consumed the sun or the moon. So sometimes the central channel is called Rahula, the dark planet, because it's going to destroy the two side channels. It's going to consume the two side channels. So he's got a lama named Rahula. He's got a lama named Avadhuti. He's studying Uma, and he spends 9 years doing the practice of Avadhuti. Okay, so that Avadhuti means central channel. It's exactly what you're doing. Okay, it's exactly why you're doing yoga. Okay, if you could, that's why yoga was invented, and that's what yoga was meant to do. Along the way, you also lose weight, but that's just a coincidence. But then it got all corrupted into weight loss centers. But the ultimate purpose of yoga was to loosen the two side channels and allow the Avadhuti, the central channel, to flow freely. And that has two effects. One is that you see ultimate reality directly, and the second is that you love people. You gain a high degree of love. Okay? That's why you feel high after a good yoga class, like today. You know, that's why you feel, I mean, we had a class with Mira. That's why you feel high. For a little while, your central channel's free. And you feel relaxed and you feel uplifted and your complexion changes and your body changes. And that's the point of those practices. So he spent all his 20s with Avadhuti, learning to open the central channel. Okay? Dona lame chundu tusam gomsum ten to chi tu drupa zete. To put it briefly, he learned to study, he learned contemplation, and he learned meditation at the feet of these lamas. Ten to chi tu drupa ze means, ten to chi is famous. Ten means meditation cushion. Tok means period. Chik means one. And this refers to like a high resolution by a yogi, like I'm going to sit under this tree and I'm not standing up until I'm enlightened. You know? And I don't know how many yogis died under trees, but that's called Tentok Chik. Okay? That's like do it in a single sitting. Right? And he worked to do it in a single sitting. Bebo Ngumbo Le. There's a book called The Blue Annals. It was written around 1100. It's a beautiful history of Buddhism. It has Tsongkhapa in it, so it must go up to the 1400s. But it's a beautiful history of Buddhism in India and Tibet. It's like this thing. And it's very, like, I got Nyingma's story out of there. It says, Lord Dun Jesup Dangwa Avadhu. He spent 7 years at the feet of Avadhuti, which is why the other math doesn't add up, okay? Because that would be 8 years, I think. So that's the story of his studies with Avadhuti. What I thought we could do is the point is that he's studying central channel right away, you know, in his 20s. The lamas throw him straight into central channel work. Okay? For 8 years, 9 years. And then we'll see where he goes from there. Okay? So the person who brought the Lama Rim to Tibet, and many people, again, they consider the Lama Rim to be very elementary. The person who brought it to Tibet, the first 10 years of his practice was central channel, was Tantra, was Dzogchen. Okay? Which maybe means the Lama Rim is something profound. Okay? Maybe it has something to do with your chakras and stuff. Okay? All right. Let's take like a 10, 15 minute bathroom break. Do you have anything? Then come back with some questions, okay? Otherwise, you've got to hear more history. A couple of people asked about, does the glass move down on the in-breath or up on the in-breath? Or, because I said one way when we did it earlier in the lower chakras, and I said a different way we did it. I want you to play around with it. I was in a yoga class of Jenny Brill from Black Dog, Black Dog Yoga in Sherman Oaks. And she's really fun. And then one day we took class and she's like, okay, when you jump up from a down dog, is it? Yeah. When you jump forward from a down dog, do you breathe in or do you breathe out? And she asked the class, and then it was 50-50. And then everybody started arguing about why one was better than the other. And then she said, well, let's try it. And she sat down and we tried it. And we tried it like for 20 times. We just jumped and jumped and jumped. And then we tried to breathe in on the jump. We tried to breathe out on the jump. And it was cool. So you can try both ways. What's happening is that when you exhale, the prana is moving down. And that's what you're feeling. And that's correct. Because the prana has to collect towards the bottom of the diaphragm to push the muscles to cause the air to go out. So the air is moving up. The prana is moving down. Okay? And then you get confused. So it feels better for some people to imagine on the exhale that the prana is returning to the muladhara. Okay? That the glass is coming back down to the muladhara. Because that follows the actual path of prana. Prana accumulates in the lower belly to exhale as a prana vayu, I guess. And that's what the difference between a prana and a vayu. They're both called lung in Tibetan, so it's confusing. But so the Tibetans translated vayu as lung and they translated prana as lung. But when the various pranas of the body accumulate in one area of the body in order to perform a function, like definitely poo-pooing is a prana vayu. So all your, when you, you know, you're like grunting and then, when you feel like this, as everybody does, all the prana is collecting near your anus and it's pushing. Or when you have a baby, it's all that prana is joining together into a thing called a vayu. So prana means inner wind, vayu also means wind. But practically speaking, you have pranas all over your body. Then when your body has to do something, when you have to speak the Uddana vayu, you are projecting wind out of your throat. So then the upper moving wind is acting. Okay? So, but when you exhale, all the pranas in your body are collecting in the lower part of your abdomen to push the air out. So you will feel, if you're sensitive, you'll feel the prana moving down. And it will seem strange to you to try to push it up while you're exhaling. And that's fine. If you're on a less subtle level, it's easier to follow the air. And this air is moving up. Okay? So I think you would start it with the air. But if you're more hooked into your prana, you'll feel it moving down as you exhale. Got it? And you'll feel it moving up as you inhale. Okay? So just try both, and it comes back to Jenny Brill's class. You know, do both and see which one works at this point in your practice. Okay. Talk about free will, please. Angry boss is yelling, we have a choice not to yell back or not. And then they wrote choice in quotation marks. Do we really have a choice, or is our response also forced on us by our karmic seeds? So the question boils down to, how do we change ourselves? Okay, and it's a very true question. And it's an old argument. It's an old debate in the scriptures, you know. So, all right, I go to a class. you explained to me that my boyfriend is coming from me. My boyfriend criticizes me. And then if I decide not to criticize him back because I figured out that it's coming from me, is that free will? Or is that just another imposition of karmic seeds on me? You see what I mean? And it's a good question. I don't know. The way to get out of it in Tibet, I mean, one way to get out of it, which I don't like, is the, but I don't know, it's there, is the fly on the poop story. Which boils down to a fly who was sitting on a cow pie, and then a thunderstorm broke out, and the cow pie got, what do you call it? There's a little water flood, and the cow pie got carried down the hill, and he's like riding on a cow pie, and then the cow pie goes around a stupa, and then from that he gets a seed to become a Buddhist later, but it wasn't really his fault. So then, no, I mean, that's a free will discussion. Like, he was just riding on the cow pie. But of course, anybody with any brains will say, why was he on that cow pie? And why did the flood come right then? And why did it go around the stupa and not just drown him? And that's also karmic seeds, right? I think it comes back to the idea that of truth, of the way things work, you see? The Christians have an idea of original sin, right? Meaning from the time of the Garden of Eden, people have been sinful. And that's their nature, you know? And Buddhism is sort of similar, really, in they say that you have always misunderstood things, forever. We have always misunderstood where things were coming from. So in a world where all things were equal, you could never get out. It's not possible. If everything is seeds, and if you were built with seeds that to misunderstand things, then you will continue to misunderstand things forever. There's no hope. Then they say, but that perception of the world is faulty. That perception of the world is mistaken. It's not true that your boyfriend is yelling at you because they want to. In fact, they are yelling at you because you yelled at somebody last week. And so there you have a seed in your mind. Sooner or later, the two viewpoints collide. Sooner or later, you are faced with a decision. At this point in Europe one day in the class said, we have no choice but to accept free will. But anyway, at some point, the two ideas will try to coexist in the same mind. That's the devil and the angel thing that we've been doing in Phoenix. Sooner or later, there comes a time when those two viewpoints collide in a single person's mind. And you know, we like to think, oh, I have that viewpoint already. I accept the viewpoint, Geshe Michael. I know my boyfriend's coming from me, you know. Then he yells at you on the Monday when you get back, and you just blow up, you know. And you can't sustain it. You can't sustain the new viewpoint, right? But there comes a time when there's a true battle. There comes a time when he yells at you and you're like, and then there's a direct confrontation between the wrong idea and the right idea in reality, in the moment. And you're struggling. You're frozen. You're paralyzed. You know, you're ready to go the old way, but now the new way is so much stronger in your mind that it demands you to be quiet. And then there's a momentary fight, and then you win. One day you win. I call it the half-finished sentence syndrome. You know, once you start doing half sentences, your viewpoints get good. You know, you're stupid. I don't like the food you cooked. And then you're like, you know, and then in that moment, after the R in your, there's a confrontation of your old views and your new views. And then for the first time, your new view stops the sentence. And that's the crucial point in the question of free will, I think. It's not discussed in scripture that much, okay? A lot of the things you ask me, I have to search 100,000 pages to give you an answer. If it wasn't for the database, it'd be hopeless. You know, they don't ask a lot of questions, or they're buried somewhere in the 14th century. So anyway, I think free will comes at that moment. The chance to change yourself comes at that moment. And the change doesn't come through decision, really. I don't think so. I think the change occurs because of the inherent strength of truth, as opposed to something which is false. It's not true that your boyfriend is coming from himself. It's not true that he wants to say something bad to you, you know? And then at some point, your belief in that comes face to face with your newfound understanding. Belief, old belief meets new understanding. And the new understanding is correct. It's functional. If you stick to that, you will be happy. And you'll get all the things you ever wanted. And you'll get rid of all the bad boyfriends you ever wanted. You see what I mean? It's functional. It works. And the other one doesn't work in the way advertised. You know, to fight, to reason with your boyfriend doesn't work. You know that. You should know that by now. You know, it doesn't matter how much reasons you have or how correct they are. Or, then sometimes he just says, I don't care. You know, like all these years he's been saying, be logical. Then when the moment comes and you're logical, and then he's like, I don't care. That's just how I feel, you know, and it doesn't matter, you see. So I think free will is tied into understanding. At some point, understanding overcomes. You can make a choice. You can decide not to speak back. It is free will, and it's a free will which is planted and which is forced upon you. No, I'm not kidding. Try to feel that. Try to get used to that. You don't have a choice but to have free will at that moment. Okay? This is a great question. This one's really good. If everyone is my projection and I can change them with new seeds, how can there be people still suffering for me to emanate to when I become a Buddha? Okay, so my mind is totally pure. And then if everybody's coming for me, I should just see angels around me all the time. So who? Rinpoche asked this question. You know, he was in New York on Houston Street, near Houston Street. What's the street that runs perpendicular towards NYU? McDougal. He was on McDougal. He was in a little apartment on McDougal Street giving a discourse. And this question came up. You're talking 1974. I was there. And he said, what do you think? All the Buddhas are going to retire? You know. Then he refused to answer anymore. Wouldn't I take them all with me? Because there is no one to take. What is the implication of this to my boyfriend? Do they still have their own world? I want to help their experience and not just my experience of them. That's beautiful. That's really good. That's very subtle. And it's very true, okay? And that's, we got into this question. I was one of the examiners for Pabong Kwenpeche, the third one. And we gave him this question. I gave him this question. And, you know, I said, if you're enlightened, then you see everybody is enlightened too. And then who's there to help? So why become a Buddha? You know? We had a nice debate. It went on for like 3 hours. And it continued onto the porch. Like after the examination was done, we kept going. So it's true, like the pen, okay? So like what this person is saying who wrote this very sophisticated question, they said, so my boyfriend's like the pen, okay? And you're suggesting that in order that I should not hear my boyfriend criticize me, I should stop criticizing other people. Then I will perceive my boyfriend as being more kind to me. And that's true. But does that fix how your boyfriend perceives himself? You see? Okay? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Then she knows that. And she's going one step more. She says, I care about him. I care about how he's experiencing himself. So how do I help him with that? You see? Like, okay, I know I can pull off this, like, what do you call it? Smoke and mirrors thing, and he won't criticize me anymore. But maybe he's miserable. Maybe he's perceiving a chutoy when he looks at himself. Okay? Like, I perceive him as something special. Then that, in Buddhism, that's, what's the body that stays in the heaven? What's the headquarters body? Yeah, Sambhogakaya. They call it enjoyment body. Then it has Ngepanganden. It has five features. It's almost a definition of the Sambhogakaya. It has five qualities. One is that it's always surrounded by 10th level bodhisattvas, or better. Okay? Then I think that has relevance to this question. I think in your own paradise, you can't perceive other beings who are not high-level bodhisattvas or better. Because it's just your karma. Your karma is so good that you never meet anybody else. Like, my life is kind of like that. I live in sort of a bubble. Like, I go to some weird disaster country and suddenly I'm surrounded by 10 beautiful people who are archetypes. You know, one is Diru Shah. You know, like my friend in India for 40 years. You know, I mean, what I mean is I keep meeting the same person in different countries. And they always show up. And they're always doing the same thing for me. You see what I mean? So, yeah, you would start to live in kind of a bubble. And then you would just meet nice people. Because they're coming from you. But how do those people perceive themselves? And do we have any responsibility to help them not perceive themselves that way? Right? And I'd say, yeah. And in the end, you have to teach. You have to explain to them how to plant seeds. You can't plant seeds for them, see? You can plant seeds to see your dying mother as an angel who is taking you on a tantric journey. But how does she see her death? That's a different story, you know? And we should worry about it. We should be concerned about it. And for that, you have to teach her about seeds. And there's no choice, you know? Her perception of herself is coming from her seeds, and you can't change that. All you can do is teach. All you can do is explain the seeds to them, okay? So the boyfriend question, you'd have to explain the seeds to him. The next question that always comes is, he could care less. Like, he's not interested in all this stuff, you know? Do you want the half answer? And I got into this thing. Do you want the half answer or the full answer? What should I do? Yes, both is good. Why not? The half answer is trick him. You know, just trick him. And there are a lot of stories I tell like that. For example, that's Tapke, right? Skillful means. I had a friend, he's very wealthy, he's very cheapskate. So he started to lose his wealth. And then we would go out to dinner all the time. And then I was trying to think, how can I get him? I try to reason with him, you know, like, you got to give money to people. And he's like, nah, I don't, you know. And then finally I got desperate and sometimes I leave a $100 tip for, you know, sometimes I take all my money and leave the tip for somebody and I just leave. I did it last week. So then sometimes I give $50 tips, sometimes I give $100 tip. So I give him like, I don't know, $100. And I pull out $100, you know, and he says, what's that for? You already paid with your credit card. I said, I'm going to give the guy a $100 tip. And he's like, are you crazy? You know, and I say, no, man, this is how I get my money. You know, and he's like, I don't believe it, you know. Then I say, you know what? God damn, I got to go to the toilet really bad. Here, you give him the $100. I'll be back, you know. Then I go to the bathroom and I look out this little car, you know. And I wait till the waiter comes back. And then my friend gives $100 bill. And then all this emotion hits him, you know, like the waiter's gratitude pours over him like an ocean, you know. And then he's like, you know. And And then now he started to do it himself. I mean, 20, okay? You can trick, that's the half answer. You can trick people. But the bottom line is, if you have somebody in your life who you want to help because you want them to plant their own seeds, so you don't just see them as a miracle. They see themselves as a miracle too, right? But they're not interested, or they're not open to it, right? Where's that coming from? Yeah, I mean, you just got to keep going on the seed thing, you know? Where is it coming from that your boyfriend isn't particularly interested in your new discovery in Prescott? You know, it's because you don't listen to other people. So then you just start listening to somebody else. It's, by the way, it's rarely your partner. If you're having trouble with your partner and not listening to you, it's usually someone else that you're not listening to. So you got to go through your life. I call it dredging your life, like those big dredges, you know? And you have to dredge your day for times when you're not listening to people. And you'll come up with some goopy thing. You'll pull it up out of the ocean, you know, and it will be, I'm not listening to my supervisor at work or something. And then you just fix it. And then suddenly your boyfriend is like, can I go to Prescott too? Okay. And there are many stories like that. Jeff Alexander can tell you. All right. I picked an easy one. Is it okay? Questions okay for a while? Does neutral thought travel through the central channel? Like we said that Starbucks is over here. Fifth Donut is over here. Youtiao. Every country has its pirozhok. In Bulgaria, it's pirozhok. I learned the name for donut in every country. So I can talk about it. Desire thoughts travel through here. Upset, angry thoughts travel through here. What about neutral thoughts? You're just like daydreaming, or looking out at the camp, or you're not thinking something bad and you're not thinking something good, and you don't particularly want anything and you don't particularly hate anything, and you're just neutral. And then they discuss that in scripture. It's a question in scripture. I think it's in the Abhidharma Kosha. But they say neutral thoughts are background ignorance thoughts. Okay? Neutral thoughts are background ignorance thoughts. While you're spacing out and looking out the window at the camp, there's a underlying assumption that the camp was built and the roads were paved and the trees grew from little pine cones. There's an assumption in your gut. In my religion class in college, they call it visceral assumption. You believe all this stuff grew from seeds, or somebody built that cabin, or you believe that even while you're enjoying it, you have background, low-level misunderstanding of your whole reality. Okay? So that would travel through the ignorant channels. Okay. Either the left or right. Probably there's a little underlying enjoyment of the scene or the non-enjoyment of the scene. Okay. Somebody said, you know, are you more happy or more unhappy right now? He said, I don't know. I'm pretty neutral, but, you know, I don't know where neutral thoughts travel. Okay. I suspect, for me, I have this thing, okay? What do you call it? What's the Gopa Tamo? Subtle agitation. They say, kyakpe ogla chu shorwa. What's that mean? Kyakpe ogla chu shorwa. Not kyakpa, kyakpa. Kyakpa means poo-poo. Kyakpa means ice. Yeah. Under the ice, the thoughts are running. That's subtle agitation. You're trying to meditate, but you just heard that they're having pizza for dinner, which is never going to happen. But anyway, so, you know, you just heard they're having pizza for dinner. And then you're not like focusing on the pizza, but there's that anticipation of running under your mind. Under your conscious thoughts, there's an anticipation running. And that happens for me. When you say don't think of future, don't think of past, I have a lot of subtle future thoughts. And they're defined in scripture as just about to break out. They're called future thoughts that are just about to break out. So you can feel them. You can feel them a few minutes before they break out. You try to restrain them, you hold them, and then they break out. They break out into the conscious mind. And you start to think of the future. So something good is going to happen tomorrow. And I have great anticipation, you know, which is usually dangerous. But anyway, you know, I have this anticipation running under my mind. I'm able to block it from a future thought. I don't think about tomorrow. But I can feel it's like it's bucking, you know. It's like, I want to come into the conscious mind, you know. Guess what's happening tomorrow, you know. And then I believe you're always having one of those, good or bad. So my answer to the question which channel neutral thought is traveling in, pick the channel where you have the most subtle future thought is hanging out. By the way, this is a big idea I had. When you think of another place than this room, or when you think about moving your leg because it hurts, that's also a future thought. You've got an underlying future thought, because that assumes that my leg's going to feel better if I move it. You know, you sniffle. When you decide to sniffle in a quiet room, then you're already having a future thought. You already broke out of the wall. You know, you're having a future thought. It's interesting because you think you'll feel better after you sniffle. You know? By the way, any good meditator knows that you just open your mouth and you breathe through your mouth and you let the stuff flow. And it's a little salty and it doesn't hurt you. And then you don't disturb the rest of the people in that room. I mean, that's what you do with sniffles, okay? All right. Let's do a little more. You mentioned that your mother was taught how to die by the lamas in Dharamsala. Okay, so that was like what? 1974 also. And then, you know, she was dying. I was in Dharamsala studying. I got a letter from my mom. She had already gotten breast cancer. She was a school teacher.
Wait.
Then I got this letter and she said, I blacked out in the class. I had a seizure in the class. And they told me I couldn't come back to school, you know. And then her whole life was finished, you know. And then I asked my Lama, what should I do, you know. And Sherpa Rinpoche, who's in the Vajrayogini Dakye, Tenzin Chinle Shop. He said, bring her here and we'll teach her how to die. And maybe the Dalai Lama's doctor can treat her. Yeshe Denden. So we brought her. And it was terrible. It was really hard. And then they propped her up in the class. Geshe Darge just propped her up against the wall. And she stayed there for, I don't know, I think 2 months or something. And they taught her. And it was cool. And then at the end, she met His Holiness. That was really cool. Way. So mainly it was bodhicitta. Mainly it was teachings about love and changing the world. And there's a special teaching about trying to take on other people's pain as you die. And there was a really beautiful way. His Holiness was holding a crucifix and explaining it to her. Okay, it's really cool. Wait, okay. So later. What channel does fear or lack of self-confidence run in? What would be the most powerful antidote for this? They don't say in the scriptures. What do you think? Is it closer to anger or is it closer to desire? Huh? Maybe it's a kind of desire. You think anger? I think fear would be anger. Maybe low self-esteem would be desire. Something like that? No, they don't say.
isn't the karmic relation in the two languages, is if you have useless talk, if you talk uselessly, that the karmic result is that you have low self-esteem. So what would useless talk
be? I think useless talk would be desire. So I don't know. Karmically, useless talk results in low self-esteem. Anyway, in a practical sense, I don't know. Let me think about it. I don't know. And they don't talk about it in the scriptures. So. Mm-hmm. May have to figure it out. Find somebody with self-esteem and twist them one way or the other for a long time and see which side. I think desire. Personally, I think desire. I'll vote for desire and low self-esteem. But how to fix it is easy. People ask me all the time. People ask me constantly about low self-esteem. So then I tell them some story. I was, me and Rinpoche, I wanted to write a book. And it was about, I wanted to teach the Mongolian kids debating. So we got, I wrote a grant for NEH. And we got it. And then we got permission from the local elementary school to teach debating to the children in the school, with the school. And then we taught them, you know, all this debating stuff. And it was fun. And they wrote a book. It still exists. It's a good book. And then so some radio show heard about it. Some radio person heard about it. And they called for an interview, you know, and I picked up the phone and I said hello, and they said, "This is KWBC, you know, you're on the radio right now. What do you have to say about this project?" You know, and I'm like, and I just froze and I couldn't say anything, and there was just these clicking and gagging noises, and it was really bad, you know. I couldn't say anything, and finally I just hung up. And then I went to Rinpoche and I said, you know, what can we do that this doesn't happen again? You know, like I have trouble speaking in front of people, you know. And he's like, oh, and then he went off on this long thing. You know, you go to the grocery store. I said, yeah, I was the grocery man. I was the laundry man. I was the postman. I spent weeks at the post office trying to send registered letters to Kalimpong, India, and get answers from the Indian post office. And so he said, you know, you have a busy day doing all my stuff. You know, you go to the grocery store, you buy the food, then you wash all my clothes, then you go to the post office and spend hours there. You know, you go to the bank, and then you meet people. And I said, yeah. And he says, do you ever see people who are unsure of themselves or they're nervous? And I said, yeah, I mean, half the bank tellers in the bank are nervous. And, you know, the lady at the laundromat, she miscounts the coins and she gets all flustered. And then the guy behind the counter at the post office never heard of Kalimpong. And then he goes looking through these notebooks of what's the rates to Kalimpong. This is near Darjeeling, right? And what does it cost to register a letter to Darjeeling? And he gets all flustered. And then he said, well, then you have your answer. You know, find people who are flustered. And find people who are unsure of themselves. And find people who, you know, they don't seem very confident at what they're doing. And then encourage them. You know, just encourage them. Like, you're the best quarter counter I ever met at this laundromat. Or, you know, you're the first guy to find Kalimpong under 45 minutes, you know, in those notebooks, you know what I mean? And, you know, and then just make them feel happy. We had a guy recently, where were we? We were in, God, it all blurs together. I think we were in Paris, the time before that. And we went for a special dinner at a diner because it was the only thing open. Are you getting this? And the guy had his own diner. He just got the place, and his wife was there. That's Paris. That's Hamburg. You're right. It's Hamburg. We were in Hamburg. So anyway, we got into this diner because it was the only place open at midnight. And the guy is like flourishing this unedible stuff, and he drops the plate. Do you remember that? His wife dropped the plate? You dropped the plate. Anyway, somebody drops the plate. And then there's this whole thing of Rinpoche telling me to encourage people. Everybody's flustered. And the guy's like, And then you latch onto him immediately and you say, don't worry, you know, this is the best diner we've ever been to in Hamburg, and you guys have really got a nice place. And then we ended up being good friends, and, you know, with the baby, she had her baby, and she brought out the wife, and they brought out the baby, and we all sat down, and, you know, but you do this thing where you make them feel good. Then that's the karmic seed to gain self-confidence yourself. You know? Now they can't stop me. I just talk. You know, they're like, okay, that's okay, and it's enough for our interview. And I'm like, yeah, but there's one more thing, you know. And okay, so it works, okay. And you just, whatever you want, you got to go on a search for somebody who needs it. You know, your whole life should be a search for people who need stuff. And then you get whatever you want. It's just the way it works, you know. People come to me for advice. I must see on tour. I mean, I just sit there and people flow up to the front. Long lines of people. Sometimes they fight with each other. And then they're all asking me questions, you know. And then I'm always the same answer, you know. Find someone. You got to, like, they say, I have low self-esteem. I said, and then I just grab their hands and I'm like, look, you have no choice. There's only one way. You must find somebody else who has a similar problem. And that some people get it and some people don't, you know, and you want to like shake their heads or something. Like, and then nowadays I just grab them and I say, this is the only way you're going to do it. Nothing else is going to work. Just forget everything else. You got to find somebody who has the problem and you got to help them, you know. And then, I don't know, it works a lot of the time. But that's the only way to get to change problems that you have, is you need to find somebody, other person. That's the only way. There's no other way. There is no other way. Okay. You got to be on the lookout for people who have problems. Okay. Let's do a little more of this, and then I'll do more of these tomorrow. Gyalpo podang gyalsan chen na mi kim bumtak chik dan chuki jingbu tongdak nishu tsanga kimi tsa dungya nishu ta le jong ching tongdak nga tuk bangi kiwa tongdak songa rawa rimba dungi korwa barki sa... that's enough. Gyalpo podang, he had a palace called the Palace with the Banners. It was in the middle. Tukidzimbo Tondanyusa Sangha. There were, what do you call that? 100,000 subjects, 100,000 families, 25,000 hot tubs. Okay, Tukidzimbo. Pools for pleasant washing. Kemutsel Dungya Nishu. 720 gardens, floral gardens. Tadai Junchin Tonda Ngadu, 56,000 imported palm trees. Bangi Kiwa Tonda Sunga, 35,000 personal attendants. Rawa Rimba Dungi Korwa, 7 concentric fortress walls. Not just one. Like Jerusalem, you see the wall? Count 7 of those. Okay. Parki Sampa Sumgya Resum. 363 bridges connecting the walls. Selki Gyalsan Tondak Nyanga. 25,000 golden banners. You knew that. Uki Podrang Gyapup Chuksumba. 13 golden spires. Kapolas, Longchuki Gyana Tongkun, Gyabo Danyamba Yuduk, the same amount of wealth that was possessed by the Chinese emperor. Okay. Yuduk, Jo Chambode, Ditabu Gyasi Topjo Ngatang Denda Mepa De, Chilme Telwa Shindone. Atisha rejected those riches as if they were spit. He didn't consider them any more important than a piece of saliva that slipped out of the corner of his mouth. It took me a long time to find that on the dictionary. Also, Lord Buddha, he was offered the Korla Gyupa Gyalsi. What do you call it? He was offered the presidency of the world. Okay. They said, if you want to go that career path, you can be president of the world, king of the world. He also, Chilme Telvashin Dor, he, it's like some spittle came on the corner of your mouth and you just go like that, you know? So it's like, you don't even think about it, you're just like that. He rejected it like that, Chilme Shindora. Rapta Chumar Zed Dugna, and became a monk. Dedaki Namtana Migyate Ki Lobga, we should look up to their example. Tatarang Chadnam Kyut Sangche Tong Dang Zongbun Shik to Go Sena Tetsam Mepa Nutsu Dudu. People like you and me, meaning 1921, 900 monks listening to him. Was it? Or 700? I don't remember. If somebody comes up to you and says, if you are willing to give up your robes, I will make you a local governor in Tibet. Tetsu Mepa, without a doubt, we would do it. Okay. Rinpoche, I don't know. Do you know the story? Rinpoche was offered the same. He got the offer. His teacher was offered an abbacy of a very wealthy monastery out south of Lhasa. And he would be the vice abbot. And then he would be wealthy for the rest of his life. And they got this offer from the government. And then Rinpoche said, how's the study there? And they said, you know, it's not one of the big three, which means not very good. And then he said, can I stay? And they had a big, like, tension, and then he stayed. And he had to stay, sleep in somebody else's closet or something, because they locked up their house and the teacher left. And he made that choice. Okay. Tongshin Kose Tetsume. Gyasi Ta Shak. Shak Nakum Tsamgi Kacha Yang Lotonka. People like you and me in this monastery forget giving up a kingdom. We have a big fit if someone asks us to move out of a monk's cell, which is no bigger than a closet. You know? But Atisha was able to give up that kingdom as if it were spittle. And he spent 7 years studying with. Now we got a third one, right? I don't know. This is funny. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. He studied the tantric path, the diamond path, at the feet of a great many lamas who had attained high goal realizations. Okay? Damlak Malupa Kepa Gyurte. Sangaklak Nani Keso Nyamdu Gomba Chungana. Then he got to thinking, I'm the biggest master of Tantra in the world. Okay? He was like, I'm the one who knows Tantra. Okay? Then the Daki Manamki, Naki Lepanga Toma Nyama Mambo Nelam Dene Tukyal Chako. Then the Dakinis came to crush his pride. And they one night they appeared in his dreams. Yeah, in his dreams. This is a famous story. It's a long story. But anyway, then they said, they started talking about all these. Look at this tantra. You know, this is the whole, this is probably the most beautiful tantra there is. And then in his dream, Atisha's like, show me, you know. And then they say, look, you know. And he's like, I never saw that one. And they're like, oh yeah, there's lots you haven't seen, you know. And then he woke up, you know, and he's like, dang. You know, there's all these, I thought I was the world's number one tantra master. And then there's all these tantras I never even saw, you know. And then they, what's jack mean? When you say kayu chak, when you're washing the dishes and your lama says, it's a famous example in the monastery. Kayu chak means, hey you, your disciple is washing dishes carelessly, so you yell out of the bedroom, hey you, could you just break all those dishes? And then that gets used as an example of tangi. Anyway, Nagyachak. What? They smashed his pride. You know, look, there's thousands of tantras you never heard of. And they're secret. Okay. All right. Dani tsendila ngakitushiki chupa chede. Chakya chembo choki ngudub topashi ja nyam gombana. I'm supposed to go till 4:30, right? You got to hang in there. I know it's hard, but I don't care. So he decided, I would like to become a great tantrika. You know, I would like to devote the rest of my life to studying heavy-duty secret teachings. Chakya Chembo. I think I'll work on Chakya Chembo. Mahamudra. I think I'll become a Mahamudra master. Chembo King. Choki Mudra Topa Shikja. And I will thus come to the highest attainments through the secret teachings and especially Mahamudra. Chanyam Dugombana. Lama Rahula Gupta. Now they've added a second name to Rahula, Rahula Gupta. I believe it's the same Lama. Lama Rahula Gupta. Zuchuki Tsikpa La Yang Matopa Telchung Duchune. Rahula walked through the wall at the moment that he was, the moment that Atisha decided he'd be a great tantric practitioner of Mahamudra, Rahula walks through the wall of his room. Okay, I like it. Kyuki Semjan Shagna Karcha, why do you want to give up everybody? You don't care about anybody? You know, he reads his mind and he walks into his room by not through the door. And then he says, what's wrong with you? You know, why you want to ignore everybody? Karcha, Raptu Chungshi Tantemba Dandora Mambala Pendusum, you should become a monk. Okay, you should become a monk, which means he hadn't become a monk yet. Okay, Atisha became a monk very late. I think he was 29 or 30. I don't remember. It's probably in here. But all of this tantric studies he was doing as a layperson. Okay, then he's ready to go to the high tantra, and his lama like grabs his shirt and says, "You want a high realization? You got to become a monk. That's the way, you know." Then you'll be able to help a lot of people and the teaching. Then Haruka shows up. Like this big mean tantric deity and says, I agree with him. Then Shakyamuni shows up. This part's in a dream. Shakyamuni shows up and Maitreya shows up. And they say, you know, you want to get anywhere, you got to become a monk. You got to get ordained. Pelchen Debe Kembo Jorlam Sipawat Sutrim Sungwa Shijawa La Rapta Chungshing. So he became a monk. I think he's 29. He became a monk from somebody named Sutrim Sungwa, keeper of morality. But then they describe him as a Jorlam Supawa, which means what? He had reached Jorlam. He's at the first part of, he just started to understand emptiness intellectually, okay? And that's how they describe him. They pin his level. You see what I mean? They say his abbot was a first level Jorlam, second path, Okay, hadn't seen emptiness yet. Okay, Sutum similar up to him. He became a monk from him. Became a full monk. Deta Guna Nishitsa Gula. Yeah, at 29, he became a monk. You're talking in a world where people live to 40. So in nowadays he would have been 50 or something, you know. Gularaptichung. Lama Gyada Ngapchitsa Dintene. He studied with 157 different lamas. Rigne Tadakdang Dongaki Sunat Dampadang Chepa Tamje Jang. He studied all the great sciences. There are Buddhist sciences, and there's linguistics, and then there's architecture, and there's music, and there's, he studied all of them. And he studied the open and secret teachings, Jang. Kepa Lama Dharma Rakshite Chengar Dulwe Lungdeshi Neda Kundu Shing Lumba De Dun Kundu Be Den Chedakta Shepa Chimba Shija Bumbo Ge Gyad Sam Yibet Denju Chimbo. And he met a Lama named Dharma Rakshita. And he studied with him a book. It's called the Chedat Tushepa Chembo. Say Chedat Tushepa Chembo. Chedat means Vaibhashika. And that's where the name Vaibhashika came from. They are masters of this book. Okay, so there's a certain subject called Chedat Tushepa. The text, I believe the carving here is mistaken. It should say Gyegya. It has 800, I checked it. This has 800 folios. Like, you can say it's probably a few thousand pages, okay? And inside that book are explained all the details of Vinaya and Abhidharma, okay? So these are the lower schools. By the way, that's all that ever reached Thailand, Burma, Sri Lanka, is just those two sections, Vinaya and Abhidharma, okay? Which are beautiful, they're very beautiful, but what they're trying to say is that these are considered the foundation, these are considered the lowest schools of the high schools of India, right? His teacher walks through the wall to tell him, I don't want you doing Mahamudra. I want you doing Abhidharma, which is like saying, I want you doing addition and not calculus. Okay? It's like that. And he became a great master of both of those subjects. Okay? He spent 12 years studying that. The foundation schools of Buddhism. Morality. They asked him to spend 12 years on morality, okay. The fine points of morality, okay. Because they wanted him to be a tantrika, okay. They forced him to spend 12 years on, you know, what do they study? They study, if you are in a group of guys, if you go down to the stream, if you're having some lunch near the stream, if you decide to drink the water, then how do you choose the monk who's going to go get the water? This is like one of the subjects, okay? And then they say, well, you have to sit all the monks down, talk to them, and see who's most compassionate. And then you send him. And you send him with a sieve, you know? And he goes down to the water, and he sieves the water to see if there's any tiny little bugs in it. And he carefully takes each tiny little bug out and puts them on a leaf. Then he quickly caps the rest of the water and brings it to the picnic. And this is a whole, you might spend a whole day discussing this. That's how you can spend 12 years discussing morality. Like, you shouldn't send a monk who could care less about bugs. Okay? Don't send a monk who doesn't like bugs. You know, send a monk who cares about little bugs, and he should get the water, you know. Monks in the old days were required to carry a strainer because you drank your water out of streams, and you didn't want to suck in a mosquito by accident. Okay, like that. So his teacher, his big tantric teacher, is forcing him to go spend 12 years discussing this kind of stuff. because he wants him to succeed in Tantra. Okay? And that's the only way you can. Your moral lines have to be very strict and self-imposed, very strict. Don't hurt anybody. Don't leave stuff on the floor. Like that. That should be a whole subject, I think. Don't leave stuff where other people are going to be walking, because they'll fall on it or they'll hurt themselves. And then like that, until you get to that level, you can't do Tantra. Okay? All right. Let me see. Depa Chokyepa, I'm going to keep going, okay? I know you're tired. Just hang in there. 10 more minutes, okay? Otherwise, it'll take 20 years. Depa Chokye Soso Jinlin Rungche Sok Chaklen Tomo Tada Ma Depa Kenne. Then he studied the laws of the 18 groups, okay? There are 18 flavors of Vaibhashikas, okay? There are 18 different kinds of Abhidharma schools and Vinaya schools in those days, okay? If you care, you don't care. Do you care? There's 7 Sarvastivadin schools, 5 Mahasandika schools, and 3 Stavira schools, and 3 Mahasamitaya schools. I think that adds up. Okay, so anyway, it's pretty famous in India. There came to be 18 schools of Vinaya, and they didn't get along with each other that good. And they put patches on the back of their robes to identify which group they were with. And we still do that. We still put patches on the back of the robes, although nobody knows what they mean anymore. Anyway, he learned all 18 schools, which in ancient India meant he was like a rime, like he wanted to learn, he wanted to everyone to get along. And he learned everybody's system, okay? He learned their Jinlen ceremonies. Jinlen means a monk cannot eat food unless it's blessed ahead of time through a certain ceremony. Food which has been stored for a monk's use, they cannot eat unless it's blessed, okay? Rungchu, a monk can't drink water unless it's been strain properly and certified that there will be no small creatures killed. So, etc. He learned all of those customs which relate to respecting life. Right? And they relate to respecting life. And that's the power that made him a great tantrika. You see? That's why he was a great tantrika. Because he mastered the details. For us, I think it would be like a respect for the environment or something. I think for us, it would be, like I'm in my house and somebody gives me a Fiji water and I drink it and then I have a choice to throw it in the recycling or in the, the ethics of dragging water from Fiji is another thing. But my Lama, by the way, told me I can't buy it anymore. So, but anyway. And you feel like you just want to throw the plastic bottle in the garbage and not put it in the back of the car and drag it to the recycling place, But then that's your version of his level of morality. That's the one that we have to keep, or you'll never be a tantrika. You see what I mean? You want to learn all these big tantric teachings, then you got to be a plastic bottle into the recycling thrower person. It's the same thing. Okay, that's our version. You take care of your world and you take care of the people in the world on a very subtle level. Then you're like sitting there, you went to the recycling place. I have to go to the post office. I have to turn into the post office. I have to drive behind the post office. I have to get my hands into all this bottles and stuff that's been in there for 3 weeks and they all stink. And then I have to go take a shower afterwards. And then I come home. And then the bottle cap of the Fiji water bottles in the middle of the floor. And I'm like, and then there's a moral crisis, like that I can throw into the garbage, And then there's this voice in your head, yeah, if you don't want to practice Tantra, that's okay. If you don't care about life on the most subtle level, then yeah, just, you could probably just throw it outside. you know? And then you're staring at this little blue ball of cotton. You're like, meh, you know? And it's the same thing, okay? That's what would make your tantra successful, okay? I did put it in the recycling. Okay. He became the crowning jewel of all 18 groups, okay, of the Vaibhashika. I'm going to keep tracking, okay? We got 7 minutes. Don't waste your time. He learned all the open and secret teachings that were available in India at that time. And he grasped them. Then he got obsessed by a certain question. Okay, I studied everything. I know all the open teachings. I know all the secret teachings. What's the fastest way for me to get enlightened? He just got obsessed with this thing. I've had people come up to me like that. They're like, Geshe-la, I know I enjoy the retreat. I enjoy all the teachings. I like Phoenix. Just tell me what I need to go get it done fast, you know? Especially like I had a guy with AIDS, like what? 20 years ago in New York, you know, he came to me, he said, look, I got AIDS, you know, and I like you, you're a nice guy, I like all your students, your school's very nice. Just tell me what I need to do fast, because I ain't got time. You know, I don't have time to go through all the books and the courses, and just tell me what I need to do. Just tell me, you meet people like that sometimes. They're just like, tell me what I need to do, because I ain't got time. And he died. We took care of him and he died. We split up the... Were you there? I don't remember. That was before your time. He was a ballet dancer. He was very beautiful. And he got AIDS. And then we were taking care of him. And he died in front of us. You know, the students split the night. And everybody went for a couple hours. And it was bad. Anyway, so he got that same obsession. He was like, nah, I just want to get it done fast. His teacher Rahula heard his thoughts. You know, he's like, oh, you want to get enlightened fast. Okay. And he was on another, he was like in Ohio. You know, he read his mind from Ohio in Prescott. He's off on the place called Black Mountain Hermitage. And he's like reading Atisha's mind, you know. Atisha is like, how can I get it done fast? Then Rinabu Konsen should be known. There Chune Joe La Sumba. So he went to where where Atisha was, right? And he said, Yidamgi Pashel Tomadam, you wanna see the faces of the angels face to face. Kingo Kitlatso Mambogun to Girpa. You want to be surrounded by the dakinis of the secret worlds. Tumogi Nguda Mambotopa, you want to fly in the sky. You know, you want to walk through walls. Tinginzi Rigyutsam Yopar, you want to get a meditation which is more fixed than the Rocky Mountains. He says, a mountain chain, okay? Karyang Michin. It won't get you anywhere. Kayang Michin means you won't get anywhere. It won't get you anywhere. You know? And then he says, Jamba dang ningje chanchuki semla lojong. You need to lojong. Okay? You need lojong. You need course 14. Okay? You need lojong. You need to develop love for other people. You don't need to all this tantric stuff. You need love. You need to care about other people. That's all. Okay. Therefore, tuche chembo ningje la yimbe, the angel of compassion is Avalokiteshvara. Take him as your close angel. Okay. Or guan yin, right? In China, they picture him as a woman, and I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that no one's sure. You know, just so beautiful that maybe both, okay? Lying, that means take them as your angel. Korwa matongi padu samjagi dun che pa dam che. Tam che. Tam che means holy dharma. Tam cha, spelled with an au, means make a samaya. Make a samaya to yourself. Dam tsik cha, make a pledge to yourself. Swear that you will serve others until the last being who is still suffering is transformed into an angel, right? Swear now that you will stay until the last person who's not in transformed is, until you transform them. Swear. Shik Sung. Yang Dorje Deng. This is cool. We got 3 minutes. Maybe we'll die between. Let's finish it. Yang Dorje Denki Korsana. He went one day to Bodh Gaya, which is called in Tibetan, sorry, the old name, Dorje Den, Vajrasana. Vajra Asana. Okay, the diamond asana. In those days, asana in the sense of the seat of the diamond. Dorje Denki Korsana, Kura Kortsabi. He went to walk around the stupa. We did it, right? That's where I met you. Yeah, that was cool. I met him at that stupa. Jimne Sukukuda. Then there was two statues there. Okay? They were like statues of Buddhas or something. Like in Buddha, right? Chigla Chig Chiwa Dalendabiso. They were talking to each other. Okay? The two statues were having a conversation. Okay? He doesn't write the conversation. That's kind of weird. Anyway, they started asking each other, what's the fastest way to get enlightened? While he's walking by. Like one statue turns to the other and says, hey, if you want to get enlightened really fast, what would you have to do? Okay. Then Dorje Denki Tlochok, then in the south of Bodh Gaya, then there were two women in the sky having a discussion who were bigger than normal human, right? And they started asking each other, hey, if you wanted to get enlightened fast, what would you have to do? So it happened to him twice. Okay? What should you do if you really want to get enlightened fast? Then Chikshanare, oh, that's easy. One of them said to the other, the statue and the ladies in the sky, Chanjuki Simla Labajao. You gotta study compassion, bodhicitta. You gotta study the wish to become a Buddha, the wish to change the world into an enlightened place. I assert that it's not much different than deciding that you would like to go on a DCI tour. Okay? It's that kind of decision that you would like to help other people. In some way, you make a decision. I'm going to train myself. I'm going to become a good practitioner. My yoga will be good. My meditation will be good. And then I'll start helping people. That's all. Nothing more weird than that. Okay? The same decision faces you now. You face the same decision now. You know? Do you want to do it fast or not? And if you want it to go fast, you got to take care. You got to go help people. Okay? Lapajao, shesumne. We'll stop there, okay?